This is Jack Loeffler. The Colorado Plateau is an arid province distinguished by deep canyons, distant horizons, and by human reckoning, an air of beauty and mystery that men will fight to preserve. This landscape is carved by rivers and streams that comprise the Colorado River System, one of three river systems that drain the Intermountain West into the sea. The Colorado Plateau has elements of high desert, piñon juniper woodland, and ponderosa pine forest. It is home to many animal species, including the mountain lion, bighorn sheep, deer, black bear, coyote, human. Evidence suggests that the first humans entered this province during the late Pleistocene epoch, when much of our planet was encased in glaciers and sea level was over 400 feet lower than it is today. Indigenous peoples continue to inhabit the Colorado Plateau, their cultures held in place by great reverence for their Mother Earth and lifestyle based on reciprocity with the flow of nature. Hopi and Navajo peoples live around the heart of this landscape, and while their spoken languages are utterly dissimilar, they share a profound understanding of the spirit of place. Vernon Masayesva is a Hopi man who has distinguished himself both as an educator and as chairman of the Hopi Tribal Council.
So I think we have to begin the education process, beginning with the kindergarten students, teaching them how important water is. Because in a Hopi way I was taught, Masao had only three things, he told us. He had a gourd of water, an ear of corn, and a planting stick. He said, this is all I have. And my life revolves around these three things. And that if we want to stay here with him, we have to do the same. That's what we were taught. The corn represents us people, our soul. The gourd of water is our connection to the Creator. It is given when we do the right thing. It's a blessing. And the planting stick is a tool. It's technology. So the basic idea is that we have to use technology to keep our environment healthy. If it's sick, to cure it. You know, we have to use technology to keep ourselves healthy and keep our connections to the Creator strong, not to sever it. If we don't do this, the technology will go on its own and it'll replace God. And that means we're getting ready for the next world. It means that there is going to have to be a cleansing.
Annie Kahn is a Navajo woman, greatly respected by her people for her strength of character and determination to preserve Navajo culture.
Since I'm a Navajo, I know the land very well. And I feel very, very good on the land. I always look forward to get up in the morning so I can see the mountains and the valley. And that's immediate blessing when I wake up. This is not true if you live in the cities. They're just like canyons, but you're not allowed to see real mountains. You're not allowed to walk real earth. There's cement everywhere. You don't live very long that way. You get sick. And that's not real living.
Herman Atin is a Navajo man who has successfully attended the University of Northern Arizona, but whose true calling is to become a Hatali, or Navajo chanter, to help his people maintain harmony and balance within the flow of nature.
Everything here between the earth, the sun, the moon, It's all related to ceremonies, or it's all in the creation stories. Before we were made, there are only deity spirits that were in this here world. They're part of being healthy for us. They're part of nature that we have to use, that we have to acknowledge to taking care of ourselves, our family, our relatives, and maybe for our society. It's all part of it. The sun, the earth, the moon, and everything. In our culture, we have the benefit of having it in our creation stories, and we can relate back to it to help us be better people, to help us acquire the knowledge that is related to it, to function and have respect for ourselves and everything else. After I had my family, I just become more of a spiritual person, have more knowledge, and then spiritual knowledge that I gain makes me feel very happy and makes me feel good and makes me be aware of more of nature, the air, the mountains, the waters, the plants. This is their prayer, this is their songs. And for me to have something from nature that's very powerful to me, that's what the state of mind in to learn to be a chanter.
Shanto Bige is a Navajo artist and poet who is nationally recognized and who draws his inspiration from his homeland.
My grandmother always said, "You are but a small puzzle in this huge mystery. You are no greater than the clouds, no greater than the little ant crawling here, no lesser than neither one. Everything is balanced. Everything is the way it should be. And to disturb one, to remove one, sends ripples out, both in the physical and the spiritual. And that comes back to you in some form." It's a very powerful vision I grew up with daily. Because my whole world, when I was growing up, personally, when I was growing up here in the Clitla Valley, just southwest of Black Mesa Junction. At the time, there was no silo. Now our daily view includes a big cement silo there, a coal silo. But that was my whole world. My whole world was my horizon. Nothing else existed beyond it. That was my world. This is what nurtured me. This is what gave me strength and life. And my whole prayer echoed from one valley to the other and back again and up into the sun. This was a fantastic place. I knew every arroyo in the valley. The mother was always there, my mother, my physical, my real mother. But the earth mother was always tread upon very lightly. And everything we do, every teaching that we were given, every stories, I guess every songs, everything we do had to do with that, about treading lightly. Of course, we move with the season, because I didn't see my winter sheep camp in the summertime. So in my view, in the summertime, when I'm down the valley at the cornfield, I used to think that where we spend the winter right now is snow.
Roberta Blackgoat lives on Big Mountain, in an area from which 10,000 Navajos have faced relocation because of interference by political figures within the United States government, whose economic interests often subsume their interest in the indigenous members of their constituencies.
This place is the big sacred spots right here, where they're going to make a sand painting, and if they wanted to have prayers, and where are they going to put the Indian baskets. This is the main spot right here. We can't take these baskets or medicines on either side of this sacred mountain. This is a special spot. All these big mountain and Navajo mountain or the four sacred mountains, they sent words, news or something like that to these sacred mountains. Whatever is happening out here in these sacred mountains, there's a medicine man that uses prayers. And then the winds sent the message to these four main sacred mountains. This is how we always say we hate to have this mountain to be destroyed. Because it talks like us in their way, just like the trees, when the wind, it breezes and you could hear the sounds of it. And even the grasses or whatever the herbs are, they talking to each other by whispering, or they might be praying, or they might be singing. That's the sound that we hear. If they are destroyed, we can't use any medicine out of it. Of course, we use medicine and foods or whatever. These plants are with us. And some are medicine, some are food. And if illness comes around to a person, then we use some strong herbs for it. And they're growing around among us. And here a lot of things has been planned on this area, that's the mine or uranium or oil, whatever comes up, and they're going to start destroying our medicines. This is the main point, that we can't give up. As long as I'm here, I'm not going to give up. According to our old ancestors, they said, don't ever give up. There's something going to happen. It's going to be ruined someday. Or either you're going to be shut or whatever is going to, you're going to be destroyed first, and then they're going to destroy the land.
When we talk about our prayers, when we say prayers, we send it off to the tips of the mountains, four directions. And we do have a four sacred mountain within which we call the Holy Land, the Netra. In the midst of the four mountains. And a lot of magic, because prayers, chants, observing certain ways of life, of living with the earth, is observed. Corn grows out of the earth, food grows out of the earth, people go back to the earth. Everything's a cycle, everything's a circle. Just like the season is a cycle, the year is a cycle, the earth is a cycle, the sun travels in a cycle. Everything's a cycle, so we view things in a cycle. Things happen and it happens again. You know, there is a great cycle that happens that we're a part of. And to destroy something without thinking, plowing a huge piece of land under, you know, you have this cause great disturbance. The desert's being taken over. It's amazing when I drive down to Phoenix. Every time I go down there, it seems like all these track housing, the condos are just spreading way out to the desert. Where is the water? Probably from Black Mesa. Vegas, of course. No, we're just growing as a species. We become so hungry for our own needs, our own conveniences, at the price of compromising other species and the earth itself. The Navajo teachings always say that Kohodon Nilchina Khadashi Kutadi Kachina. Someday when we don't wake up, or someday when our kind is going in the same direction that it is now, things are gonna start happening so bad environmentally that we will not help but wake up. Unfortunately, it may be too late. Off of that, you know, our whole philosophy, that of being a steward of the earth, being just a part of everything, never taking more than you need, replacing, giving to the earth, offering to the earth, doing an earth ceremony, not only on Earth Day, but every day. This is very, very important, and we live with this every day, realizing this every day. A lot of people believe that we as Native people hold the monopoly, I guess, on this environmental thing, which sort of became almost a fad, but I think it is at the core of every culture that I know of. Unfortunately, some has been covered up by greed, by money, by other things. You know, it's been covered up by wars, by conflicts, by geopolitical event that's happening. So I think if peace finds its way back, harmony finds its way back, and people decide to live in peace again, of course, you know, everything else will follow. The earth itself, of course, has to be in there, making peace. I guess the ultimate peace is making peace with the earth, making peace with the self. That's how we view it.
The canyons are a place of refuge, a place where we can go to merge with the wall. In the wall, we know that in a sacred manner, it opens and it closes. So having that mentality in time of crisis, we wanted to go to the canyon and to die there, that's fine. If there's anything that might happen to us, it was okay to be closer to the canyon than to be caught like desert. A desert is sort of considered naked, no footholds. But in the canyons, there are footholds and there are a place where the holy ones begging to come. It seems like our spiritual destiny is to go to merge with the canyon and the mountain. It's a place the eagles build their nest. It's a place where the eagles raise their sons and daughters. And it's a place of safety. It's dangerous. If these babies fall, they may not make it. But the eagles always look for quality of light and readiness for the time to mature to spread your wings. So it was sheer cliff, but it was all right to jump off, exercise your wings. That was the highest American Indian goal, to have thought those thoughts and let it germinate in your brain cells and let it give birth to your whole body. That having that belief and be able to go to the mountains, be able to endure and fast, no eating, and be able to feed your soul. And that in place of pain, you have joy. You're impervious to pain. That's in essence real life.
The Central Arizona Project is one of the most massive public works projects ever undertaken. Its stated purpose is to deliver water to the central valleys of Arizona for agriculture. But in reality, the water is provided to urban centers, including Phoenix and Tucson, so that human communities may grow and flourish in the fragile Sonoran Desert. In order to make the Central Arizona Project function, great concrete canals have been constructed to provide waterways from the banks of the Colorado River to Phoenix and Tucson. This water is moved from the river into canals by great pumps, which are powered by electricity generated many miles to the north by the Navajo Generating Station located on the shores of Lake Powell. This enormous coal-fired power plant is fueled by coal strip mined from the heart of Black Mesa, the female mountain sacred to both Hopi and Navajo peoples. The Central Arizona Project has resulted in massive destruction to landscape, fouling the once crystalline air by exhaust emissions from the power plant, pollution to and diminishing of the Black Mesa aquifer, upon which both Hopis and Navajos rely for water, disruption to Hopi and Navajo traditional cultures, and a final impact on the once mighty Colorado River, which now releases but a few drops of water into the Sea of Cortez. The Black Mesa strip mining operation, conducted by the Peabody Coal Company of East St. Louis, has long caught the attention of Shanto Begay, Navajo artist and poet.
I did some painting on the Peabody coal mine itself about the Mother Earth compromised, that of giving away this huge, beautiful, holy land, holy piece of land, for the sake of having someone live and breathe in a more convenient space somewhere else over the horizon. One of the pieces I have is this painting here. It's a boy, young man looking up during prayer with corn pollen bag in one hand, sprinkling of corn pollen in the other, saying, uttering the prayer. The contrail overhead reflected in the water he's standing in. Offset over here with an eagle flying. It's just my vision of the time we're in, living in the latter part of the 20th century, trying to stay connected to the past, to the culture, to the ceremonies, and remain true to the earth at the same time. And I titled this, Into the New World. My grandfather's prayer is disturbed. In the morning he walks slowly out the door, sadness upon his once strong face. With a slow gait he walks towards the east. The blazing sun rises behind the coal mine upon the mesa. The air smells of smoke, not from cook fires. The trampled ground littered with bottles and papers, souvenirs of ceremonies 2 nights before. My grandfather's prayer is disturbed. The wind that carries his pollen lightly hangs, heavy. Trucks on the distance highway blare their impatience. Boughs on pinions and junipers are parched brown. The rain clouds have abandoned us this summer. The watering holes have dried up. Up on the mesa, machines big as buildings, machines like he's never seen, continue to rip into the earth. My grandfather's prayers is disturbed. The early sky already slashed with jet streams, threads of white from which no water falls. Lightning flash of light from jet far above mocks the thirsty earth. The roar follows far behind, laws of nature distorted. My grandfather's prayer is disturbed. The ground rumbles slightly as a coal train takes another load away. Explosives shake the mesa as new veins are opened. The mesa will be smaller this evening. My prayers are disturbed. Still we sprinkle pollen for another day. Still we have faith.
Over the years, Vernon Masayesva has been collecting information about the history of the Central Arizona Project and its effect on the Colorado River.
I go to these meetings, you know, when they talk about the Colorado River, and they talk about the law of the river, and how all these people have an economic interest in it. They have a vested interest in it. They all look at the river as theirs. It's my river. That's the mentality. That's the mindset. It's like there for me to use, to exploit, to make more money. And I don't want you taking it away from me. You know, so they fight to keep it. It's their water. They forget that the river does not belong to us, that we belong to it. We don't control the river. We think we do. We write laws about it, and it gives us a sense of ownership and control. It controls us. The river controls us. But we don't look at it like that. But I think my hope that we would change that some way. And I think there's a way to still benefit from the river, but to bring the health back to that river. We've taken so much of it, we got to give something back. That's the Hopi way. Whatever you take, you always give back. You know, you never just take, take, take. You don't say, I'm separate from the plant or the animal or the stars. I'm part of it. That's why in many of our Kachina dances, when we participate with our friends, as we call them, we become those things. We have no problem with it. One day I'm the moon, next day I'm the badger. You know, and we're transformed into those things. And it just reinforces that feeling that there's interconnection here. We're not separate from nature, but we're all an integral part of it.
Water is sacred to all, with sensibilities sympathetic to their habitat. A group of Navajo singers who live near Kayenta call themselves the Todi Nish Je Singers, or the Singers from the Place of Many Waters. They were recorded at a stream in their homeland, performing the Navajo skip dance song, Hayo Wini. Featured on this episode of The Spirit of Place have been Vernon Masayasva, Annie Kahn, Herman Ateen, Roberta Blackgoat, Shanta Begay, Gary Paul Nabhan, and the Todi Nish Je Singers. They are included on our program with their written permissions. This 13-part radio series was produced for the Western States Arts Federation in association with KUNM-FM Albuquerque by Jack Leffler and Elaine Thatcher. Funding for this series was provided by the Ruth Mott Fund, the New Mexico Endowment for the Humanities, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the Utney Reader Magazine, offering thought-provoking points of view on culture and society from over 2,000 media sources. Please visit Utney Reader on the World Wide Web at utney.com. That's www.utne.com. This is Jack Leffler inviting you to remain attuned to the spirit of place. Thank you for listening.